been having an argument with John the Baptist. Supposedly, the lectionary text for today is John the Baptist calling everybody to repentance. And he's yelling out, "You brood of vipers, you." And then there's been this part of me that has been saying, well, we light these candles to celebrate peace, hope, joy, and love. And we never talk. Whether it works or not.
And whether John the Baptist likes it or not. And so there has been this struggle for me this week with the lectionary text. Part of what we're using today is from the lectionary, and part of it is not. But nevertheless, I believe we need to be considering this thing called hope. I believe it is especially important this year, after this rather contentious election season, where there has been so much hate, so much anger, so much discomfort, so much nervousness about what's going to come next. And so this is the Sunday in which we celebrate hope. One of our first readings, you maybe hopefully remember, was from Isaiah that was read during the candle lighting. And Isaiah tells us, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." A stump. A stump is a dead tree. How can there be life? There's nothing there. It's gone. Nada. And yet, this is the word of hope, which Isaiah gives us. I think it is much like what I, a very visual person, imagine. When I see crocuses in the winter coming up through the snow, all reason tells us that those crocuses should die. It's cold out there still, you stupid flowers. And yet they consistently pop up. And we know, because we saw it last year, the year before that, they will survive. Those mighty crocuses, the power of nature, is indestructible. And I feel the same thing when I look at a concrete or a blacktop jungle. And despite the efforts of humanity to defeat nature, flowers, frequently dandelions, but flowers will insist on surviving and finding life through the smallest crack in the concrete. And dear to me, maybe to people like John, who grew up in the mountains, is the tree that manages to grow out of the rock. How? How it does it, I don't know. But I've never gone for a hike in the mountains, and I haven't seen at least one tree growing out of the rocks. And they put out their roots and somehow manage to stay there. Year after year after year. These are the words, these are the images of hope. Hope is one of those things that is very difficult to talk about because it's not really concrete. And I, being a visual person, have to go to pictures. And this is where I know that God's reign is supreme. That creation will not be destroyed. Because even though it says in Romans, it groans, it will not be defeated. And so we have hope. We have hope. And when I talk about hope, I'm not talking about just being
optimistic.
I'm talking about a deep, abiding faith, a trust. I'm not talking about living in the world with my glass half full. No, I'm not a cockeyed optimist. I'm talking about that deep, abiding trust in God that comes from
reading scriptures and knowing the history of what all has gone before. God may not speak to us from the top of a mountain with a loud thundering voice, with lightning and thunderbolts. God may not send us emails to tell us exactly what we want to know. If Elijah found, God speaks where God will speak. All the prophets have been murdered. Elijah is running away from Jezebel, who's out to kill him. He's hiding in a cave. And God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there's a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind and earthquake, the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire, the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Still, small voice. They know a little weird. I look for that sign of God's presence in every day, in the smallest little wonders, or the most vaulting wonders that I can find. There's that crazy pansy that I can't plant in the spring a year ago. It was still blooming in January. That same pansy that came up and bloomed still this summer. There's a cyclamen plant that sat on the windowsill in my house, and when I was sure that the whole world was desolate and dark and there was no hope anywhere, that silly cyclamen bloomed again. When I was sure it was dead and just hadn't bothered to throw it out yet. God speaks in silence, in the small, tiny wonders of the world around us. And so, that is what we have to hold on to. And we see it time and again and time again in Scripture. We see where Abraham's told to pick up his family and leave and go to a land that God will show him. And it wasn't an easy journey, and he did kind of do some nasty things along the way. And yet they made it safely. Moses was asked to lead the people out of Egypt out of slavery. They didn't have a smooth trip either, but they did get to the promised land. Joseph was sold into slavery. And yet he saved the people of Egypt from starvation. We're not talking about great, wonderful people that we could put on a pedestal. We're talking about ordinary people that mess up all the time. And God stayed faithful and was with them. And so God stays with us, messed up though we might be, and is faithful as well. So there may be things only God can see. And there may be things that we can't really hear. But we do know from what we read. And hopefully we know from our past experience that God is always there. Even when it seems dark. I can give you
So here I stand yet again to preach. And God has always provided for me, even when I thought I would have no job, no home, nothing to eat or drink, no shelter. And about the time that I think I'm desperate, I have a home, I have a job, I have all that I could ever need. And so I am a prisoner of hope. I never lose hope. Because I know God is faithful, even when I am not. And in this time of Advent, we are waiting for the birth of Christ. But we are also waiting for the second coming. And Christ will come again. In this wondrous, just world where nobody will know want, where nobody will suffer in prison, where nobody will be discriminated against. That beautiful world that God longs for us to have will come. And until then,